Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil McKenna are back, and today we are recapping episodes 13, 14, and 15 of Australian Survivor Redemption. We have finally lost one of our returning players other than Harry. Mark finally says see you later here in episode number 15. Episode 13 and 14, a lot going on in those as well. A really strong week, I feel, for Australian Survivor. We lost our CEO. We also lost Lottie, which, you know, Lottie going out pre-merge kind of sucks. Or not pre-merge, well, pre-jury kind of sucks. Yeah. I mean, we have Jairo D. Garcia. Lottie was number two on the Meridian Review's mid-season power rankings from the edging standpoint. Lottie gone was pretty shocked for it because this is the final time they have female contenders up to this point. I said this before. I'm getting Marianne vibes from this season, where everybody just seems to know Marianne has such a good chance to win 42. I mean, I can watch this game and I feel like I watch Survivor with a pretty close eye. I feel like I have a pretty good sense of who has a winning chance and who doesn't. And I always find it interesting when the community's like, no, how do you not see this? And it's like, oh, now there's three massive episodes for somebody. Like, I got to troll the chat somehow, because if you are reading it and trying to pretend you're not, that's kind of annoying. But anyway, so Lottie number two, Lottie gone. I was surprised at that one, losing Faith and then Lottie back to back.
I think Lottie just like dipped off in the previous three episodes. So it didn't surprise me that she just like randomly goes here, because like we weren't getting too much besides her versus Simon now.
Yeah, I know. And it was funny because on this episode, all of a sudden she's feeling really good about her spot. Oh, I feel great about where I am. I feel awesome. And I'm like, why? Why do you feel like you have control of everything? Like, I felt like Lottie, I don't know, it went to her head. I don't know. Ryan Chan with the $5 chat. I love how an Australian Survivor, you can get voted out on day 28 and you still don't make jury. So that's fun. And then M. Smith actually says there are no winner spoilers, Phil, probably for the first time in 10 years. Look, I hope you're right. But also, like, I don't know if there's spoilers about like final six, final seven, final five or something that maybe has people going one way or the other. That's the only thing. I don't know. Like, I believe you, M. Smith. I just worry. Like, I just don't want – it's the same thing. I make the pitch with U.S. Like, if you are reading stuff, don't come in here and be like, whoa, like, isn't this surprising? I'm not saying everybody in the chat is, because I don't know. But all of a sudden, Caleb had a massive episode here, and it just gives me the 42 vibes of like,
yeah,
Marianne wasn't doing anything for four episodes, and people were telling me, wow.
This is it.
Brian killing it. Weber. Can't wait for the final three of Blanche, Laws, and Cam. Yeah, I can't wait till those final three people are gone from my screen, because I don't know who they are. But like, you know, I don't know. Look, I just get the history here of like Marianne on 42. Her edit was brutal early on. Like, she comes out of nowhere. And I'm looking at the chat and people are telling me, no, Phil, you're underestimating Marianne. Marianne's this, Marianne's that. I find out after the season, Marianne was heavily spoiled as a winner for that season. And it's like, okay, I guess that's cool. And like, I get everybody wants to be right about something. When I get Michelle Fitzgerald right, I mean, I talk about it 18 seasons later, 10 years. I mean, I'll never grow up. But I don't know. I mean, the Caleb thing came out of nowhere for me. I mean, I could see him winning now for sure. And if M. Smith's correct, there are no winner spoilers, which I hope there aren't. I mean, I know our chat and our group has been like really high on Caleb. I don't even know where you find Australian Survivor spoilers. Is that on Spoiled Survivor as well? I don't know. But I really was impressed with him this episode, this string of episodes for sure. I still feel like Keely or Jackson have a better chance than Caleb, but we'll get into all of it.
I love Keely so much.
Keely's pretty great.
Yeah. She is definitely my standout this season. And I think it also, this just feels like such a different season of AU because we do have a bunch of contenders and we do have a bunch of people going out in random spots. Like, I feel like this was a strange place for Mark to go out based on the edit.
I mean, Kyle keeps track of it. And I know you sent it over to me earlier today and I was
69 confessionals.
69 confessionals. Just to put that in perspective, second is 41. And maybe that's why even with Caleb, like I couldn't see it for the longest time. I mean, he has 31 and 10 of them came in this string of episodes. Right. So for me, it's like, okay, that's a little bit different. But, you know, or he has 30, I'm sorry, but it's Keely with 41. Simon with 31, Caleb with 30. Now was Ben has 24 because he just got 14 in episode 15, which we'll talk crazy. About.
I was looking at this chart.
Brooke has 22, and then everybody after that is a non-factor. Like they, like Sally There's Blanche, so Cameron, just Maz.
With a zero chunk for episodes, and like Brooke, I was shocked at her confessional count because she seemed so important early on, but then she started not going to tribal council.
Yeah, I think that could be a big factor in it. I mean, Mark now being gone, I think with Mark leaving, the beginning of next week will be a really big tell of who you're supposed to be paying attention to because Mark was eating up so much screen time. I mean, I don't know if Kyle, I know sometimes they do. Yeah, I think Kyle has it here. 438 total confessionals, 69 of them belong to Mark. Just to put that into perspective here. He takes up 16% of the confessionals. 16%. That means like one in every six we're getting from him.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's crazy. So, I mean, look, Mark's a great character. I really thoroughly enjoyed Mark on this season. I was rooting for Mark to pull this out. I was happy when he played the idol successfully in episode 14. And honestly, I was hoping he was going to figure something out in episode 15. I mean, Keely and Brooke both have idols, so they easily could have saved him if they knew that this was coming, but everybody thought that they were good. I think it does set up pretty well for Brooke and Keely after this, now that Mark is gone, because they have idols and they kind of know they're on the wrong side of numbers. But it was Caleb who made this move, and I will give credit where credit is due there. I mean, that was a massive, massive move by Caleb to ultimately decide to take Mark out. And I think Mark will respect that move for sure and hope for Caleb if Caleb's at the end. But there's also part of me where Mark could be like, look, man, like you thought you made this smart move. And in reality, then it just led to you not having control of the game. Cause I don't know if people see Caleb make that move. Are you really going to let him pull another Miles? Like, come on.
Yeah. And I feel like Mark has to give Caleb the nod because they were working so closely together or Mark had a respect for Caleb that like, he's in my pocket. I got him. Oh, you know, the student becomes the master kind of thing. It could be that respect. And especially if Caleb is like, Mark, like you were leaving me out of votes. You were, you know, we were supposed to be this close duo, but then you were doing some shady things and I didn't know if I fully could trust you moving forward. And clearly I didn't have to because I made it all the way here. He is in the final tribal council.
Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting to see what ends up happening with that. If Caleb gets all the way there, Brian killing it, Weber, crazy that they let Caleb in the majority of the split vote, and why even split 5-2 if the other side correctly plays an idol, those two wouldn't beat their four. I mean, I thought that was interesting as well. Yeah, there's a lot. Look, I know anytime you say anything bad about Australian Survivor, people go crazy on you. They're like, whoa, you don't know this, you don't know that. I feel like the gameplay on this season particularly has been really all over the place. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I know everybody, you have to say Australian Survivor has the best gameplay ever. It's way better than US. It's not even close. Like you if you don't believe that, you're stupid. But I feel like the gameplay on this season has actually been really, really sloppy. And I think that that's making for entertaining TV though.
I think this season is just better edited as a whole, where I'm not like, okay, these three people could win, or yeah, these two people could win, or well, this person's never getting voted out, or this person's getting voted out next. I feel like I don't know what's coming in the next group of episodes, let alone from episode to episode.
Yeah, and I think that that's leading to, you know, you really are having some people who are running ahead of the rest of the pack, and then people who are falling behind. I mean, Faith gets booted. Keely comes back and says she wants to one-up Mark. That's her plan now. She's not even mad at Mark. She just wants to one-up him. And she really does go back to wanting to work with Mark. Mark does a good job of convincing her it's fine. And everybody's completely floored that Faith is gone, including myself, because I was like, whoa, I'm attached to Faith. I know what's going on here. I know who Faith is. I feel like, though, like, is Australian Survivor hitting the point of the players are almost too forgiving to the way that like US players around Season Worlds Apart started to become so bitter and rigid that they would never forgive? Is Australian almost becoming too forgiving, and it's letting people like Miles, like AJ, like Mark, like Caleb, like Ben
be able to work and maneuver throughout the game, because it's like, all right, clean slate, new vote.
Yeah. And that's how it feels like they're kind of going about this game right now, which, look, if that's how you want to play it, that's how you want to play it. More power to you. I'm not gonna knock you for that. I just feel like on this episode, I mean, they're all talking about Ben's getting super arrogant, Ben's getting super crazy, Ben's getting whatever, and they just keep Ben around. Well, then vote Ben out if Ben's getting like that. And I feel like Australian Survivor, like now Ben survives this, Caleb's the deciding vote. I don't know if Caleb or Ben will be the votes that come up next.
The fact that Richard went at that tribal council and they didn't go for Ben, like, why are we taking out people's numbers instead of them?
And that was a really bad move by Mark. Terrible.
Because isn't Richard supposed to be with Simon, who's supposed to be with you? It makes no sense to go for Richard. Yes, he was kind of flip-floppy, but he also wasn't even the person that put Brooke's name down.
No. He was a weak ally is what Mark said. Well, voting out Richard is probably part of the reason Mark went home, because I don't think Richard would have put himself in the Caleb position. And Caleb, good for him, just pulling the wool over Mark's eyes. But I think voting out Richard when you have a 7-4-1, you missed a massive opportunity to actually take out somebody who is staunchly on the other side.
Against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Mark talks to Ben and is just like, well, I'd rather work with you, who I like is playing strategy, I know direct, rather than Richard, who was kind of flip-flopping back and forth and I didn't really know exactly where he stood. He aligned with me for a lot, but maybe not everything. And it's like, you could still then manipulate that and see when he's lying. Caleb, clearly Mark couldn't tell when he was lying, or he put way too much faith in Caleb's decision making.
Yeah, he put way too much faith in Caleb's decision making. I mean, he thought Caleb was a pawn, and that's where I will say good for Caleb. Caleb had this story of, you know, everybody always underestimates me, nobody believes in me, whatever. That was the winner stuff for me, more so than even the move. And I really was like really, really happy for him that he was able to do this. I'm just bummed for Mark, because, you know, as M. Smith says here, in hindsight, Mark ruined his game by voting off Faith and Richard. And that is true. And you know, just going back to this one, M. Smith, I agree with McKenna. Asha, Faith, Lottie, and Mark all getting voted off back to back is very unorthodox edit-wise. Most of them seemed like long-term players. Now, Richard was in there as well. But
I still feel like that's a weird place for Richard, too.
Yeah. Richard, to me, felt like he was going into, you know, the 7th, 8th, 9th place.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, now it's Richard's time. Like, he seemed like he would be one of those kind of nothing burger vote outs because it's just his time. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like this was the right time for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was surprised it was him. And then when Mark's kind of taunting him on his way out, that was badass. But you know, I felt for Richard here because Richard kind of just got caught in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a weak ally than an enemy. That's what I think Mark missed the boat.
And if he's wanting to gun for someone with his idol, and you think Ben is going to do some shit because you said to him in the one-on-one over on the side, like, you guys are going for each other, go for Jackson.
Yeah, I know. They really messed that up. That was a big mess up. Big mess up. I do not like that move at all. Survivor Now podcast, the week of AO, had so many great and weak moments. What's up, guys? It did. It had both. It had great and weak moments. And again, that's where I say Australian Survivor can have maybe more exciting moments. There's also three episodes in a week. They know they can kind of drag stuff out. I still say that there's a lot of drama and omission with Australian Survivor. This wasn't good gameplay by most of the players this week. I think that almost every player made bad moves, with the exception of the people who are in the Power Alliance. But even then, Ben is getting so over the top arrogant. Everybody's being driven nuts by him. Dude, you got to chill out. Get back up a little bit. I mean, you're not putting yourself in a position to win the game. You're putting yourself in a position to win the battle. He's giving me Benji vibes, where it's like, hey, I'm going to rise up too high. I'm going to stick my head way too high above ground. You're going to get your head chopped off. Like, you got to be careful. And Ben's not being careful at all. And that's why I've been saying all along, I actually feel like Jackson's getting a really good edit, because he's had to kind of navigate some of the personalities and everything. And I don't feel like Jackson's pissing anybody off. And I also don't think he falls so much into the Kaylin side of things, where there's no strategy going on. He's playing the game. He's not as flashy from a strategic standpoint.
And I think the person that he pissed off the most is Lottie, and she's gone. Like, I think that's the person who Jackson rubbed the wrong way the most that's left in the tribe.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was a big moment too. Speaking of sloppy gameplay, Brian killing it, Weber. They told Caleb, you can choose. But a few minutes later, they said, I don't care what you said. It's actually Ben. The Minority Alliance inability to give Caleb a shot himself is a downfall. That was a bad move also by Mark. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you caught that, because I wrote that down in my notes. They said, Caleb, who do you want to vote out? And I forget who he said.
Jackson, he's annoying.
Yeah, Jackson, he's annoying. And then they turn around, nah, we're going to vote out Ben. Are you good with that? And he just says, yes. He wasn't good with it, though. And you got to stop pushing people's buttons, because at some point people are getting walked all over. Eventually just say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The votes here were just crazy. But crazy. We had two even crazier rewards. We had a car and tea time.
Yeah, let's talk about the car first. What do you think? So I have to voice a minor complaint with Australian Survivor on challenges. And this is one that I always find. I don't like when they go to the, okay, fine, we're just going to flip a coin, essentially. I hate when it's, hey, we're doing an endurance challenge. You guys have been up there too long. We can't wait any longer. Like, you have 45 days or whatever it is. Let them stand there for 12 hours. Like, they always do that.
4 minutes, 6 a.m.
Yeah, I hate when it's like, hey, you're all doing really well. Rather than let's test your endurance, everybody take your hands off the ropes and now just try to balance. I think that's so silly and it's stupid, because it's like, okay, now Sally wins the car. Why? Because Sally had the best balance in the moment and was able to figure out the barrel situation fastest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She was about to go too. Yeah, like, I don't like that.
It was within seconds of everybody dropping. And yeah. I mean, are we continuing the car curse?
Yeah. Sally's not winning. If Sally wins this, I'll eat the rock that Francesca never ate, because that would be insane. I mean, that would be crazy if Sally won the season. I'm getting nothing, getting really nothing from Sally. I mean, the stuff with her brother is great. You know, nice. Good to hear that. She kind of reminds me of Flick. Is that her name? Not the good Flick, the other Flick. The Flick whose mother passed and then she came back and played again.
That's the only Flick I know.
Oh, that's right. You didn't watch early Flick, which is crazy because you're watching Broke Now. But I feel like with that Flick, like, it was a good story, but Flick herself didn't really deliver anything that made me say, whoa, she is like insanely rootable. I can't wait to watch her again on my TV. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where Sally's falling. There's nothing wrong with Sally. There's just nothing exciting about Sally at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, car's pretty cool if you can't win Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, I just hate that it gets random at the end. Just let them stand up there for a long time to win the car. Why should it be, oh, we're just gonna throw a dart, essentially? But that was cool. And then the tea time was amazing. I thought the tea time was great. I always like when they do these challenges on Australian Survivor where one person goes in. What I liked about this one was they didn't get to choose when they were done. The others got to choose when they were done. They got to ring the bell. And I loved when they rang the bell on Cameron
before they were like,
had just gotten in.
Akili went over to Ben and was just like, do you want to ring the bell? Because he's annoying. And Ben's like, okay, and rings the bell. I'm like, what did Cameron ever do? But also, he was the one supporting everybody. Like, he didn't play in the challenge to win the reward. He just guessed correctly. And when you have Simon, Ben, Jackson all on one tribe, odds are they're going to take the win.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say also, what did Cameron do? What has he done, McKenna? That's a great question. We don't know anything about poor
All his allies keep falling, and he's just still here. He wants to rise up and be with Ben. He's all in the Ben camp.
So his – okay, so this is actually a really funny thing with Cameron. His confessional in episode 14 was his eighth of the season. He had five in episode one. He's had three since. Three. In 14 episodes. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Yeah, Cameron hasn't been good at challenges. He's not getting redemption for his 30 missed free throws from Ryan Chan. He's not getting redemption for his MMA career. The sand timer, though, was really cool because we always see this part of the challenge where they ring the bell. People go in, they're searching, they're hunting, whatever. And this was one that actually benefited the last person who went in. Normally, it's always benefiting the first person who goes in or the second person who goes in. But I love that this was the one that really benefited the last person because there's nobody to ring the bell. And she's just going to stand there until she realizes, oh, wow, that's emptying out. I love that.
Yeah. And what I hated, though, is everybody reaching their dirty mitts into the tea.
Into the tea. Why were they doing that?
Because they think the idol is in the tea. And I'm like, everybody's now going to drink this tea that they're a camper that the other contestants have like now dunked their gross hands. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, nobody's done anything that entire time. I don't know. I just feel like it's gross. Like, you guys can't see through the tea. It's pretty translucent.
Cam is reminding me edit-wise of Matt and Heroes versus Villains. Maybe it's just me.
God, which one was Matt?
Exactly. He was like at the end was like all of a sudden, oh, I think Matt could win. And I think he was working with George and company. And then switched or something and flipped over.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
And he was tight with Jerry, I think.
Was Matt the one who sits at the final three and loses?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know Australian Survivor. I can't even pretend I know Australian Survivor as well as I know US Survivor. I mean, I watch the stuff so fast. But yeah, Matt Sharp would have won if it was final two. That is what has always been said from Hyro. That's true. And Squillian says, I think I remember being a lifeguard. He did. Okay. So we did get that. And I thought that was really fun. I did. I think that those are the types of things that US Survivor is missing with the rewards and stuff.
We did like it in Heroes versus Villains. Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, and like Never Again.
Never Again. We were actually talking about that today. Will, Blake, and I were recording. We were pre-recording some of our Worlds Apart stuff for the Patreon. And we were talking about how it's funny. The auction was like the best. It was the defining moment of that season. They just never did the auction again. And it was almost like Jeff didn't want to replicate stuff during that era, during the 30s and stuff. He got too into like the twists and advantages rather than like the gameplay stuff that could be fun to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the spaghetti pasta plate thing from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers is amazing. They never do it again. And it's almost like, oh, well, we couldn't possibly top that. Okay, I get you don't want to do it every season like like Australian Survivor does, but you should still try to do it a couple times. And I feel like they abandoned things too quickly. And then in the 40s, it was let's just do the same thing over and over again.
You could easily have a spaghetti dinner at the sanctuary, and it doesn't even have to be spaghetti. It could be tacos. It could be, you know, whatever fish you speared and grilled.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, like, they could have some fun with these when they go to the sanctuary. Okay, this time you're all going to walk in and see if you can find something. I mean, I'm watching.
Ben discovered he was making a speech this week.
When we're watching Worlds Apart, though, we see in the one episode, who is it? Somebody drinks the clue and Tyler stares right at them as they do it. I think it was Joe drinks the clue and Tyler's like, I saw him do that. So now Joe has to tell him, and that's fun. Like, they don't do that fun stuff anymore.
Yeah. I mean, hiding it in a reward where it's like tucked into a chair in Redemption Island. And Rob is like, oh, Philip, there's something wrong with the chair. Get up. I have to fix this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they stopped doing that kind of fun stuff. AU still doesn't. AU might overdo it because AU does it a lot.
I feel like if Mark didn't play the idol that episode, they still would have had this extra idol this episode too.
Oh, yeah. There would have been three. They don't care about how many are out there. I mean, now we have Keely and Brooke both with them. We have Simon winning a bunch of challenges. I mean, I know that side, that side's kind of on the wrong side of the numbers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time they try to go for Brooke, she's going to play her idol.
Right. Or she has, I mean, she has immunity. She apparently has won the first individual immunity challenge in every season that she's played. So go Brooke. I mean, as soon as I saw what the immunity challenge was, I was like, okay, and Brooke's not winning. Yeah. How?
Yeah. I mean, she's a beast at everything. Shane Cup says it here, Brooke greater than Parv in challenges. And that's like, honestly true. I don't feel like Parv's that good at challenges.
She's decent. She made a run in Heroes versus Villains, but like,
yeah, I mean, there were a lot of them favored her. I feel like
she's not bad at challenges.
Yeah,
she's not like,
if you were ranking her on a 10, you give her a 6 or a 7.
Maybe I would go 7 or an 8. So I don't have someone going.
8's too high. Well, that's true too. That is true. But it's not 8. It's not 8. No matter how much you want to avoid the meme, it's not.
All 8. Right. So it's 7 then. We agree.
Yeah, because it's not 8. I mean, 8 is you got to win, like, I don't know. You got to win a variety of challenges. Like, I think Savannah is probably a 7 too.
Mm.
So, yeah, I hate women. Brian killing it, Weber. Somebody cut that bite. I hate women. There it is. I give you a second shot. Yeah.
Podcasting with a woman now.
I know. Well, McKenna, it's not because I like you. That's why we're doing it at 9:30 at night on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
When we all should just be going to sleep. I made sure you got home from work on time.
But, yeah, I scarfed down 15 minutes, cooked a meal, and scarfed it down.
Wait, you ate before this?
Yeah.
No, you're not supposed to do that. You were supposed to get right home and do the podcast. Mm-hmm. You eat after.
No.
Yeah.
No. Slave driver over here.
Yeah. No, but hey, look, this is nice. Okay, we're doing this on Tuesday night at 9:30. I had Tony Squares on earlier for the other podcast. That was fun. This is nice to not be doing this on Wednesday in the middle of the day, trying to figure out how I'm going to get around work and do it, whatever, and lunch break and all that. This is great. I mean, I can actually focus on what we're talking about for once.
Yeah. What else happened in this episode? Or a section of episodes.
I mean, it's all three episodes. I mean, obviously the votes were very good. Lottie going home, being surprised, Mark's successful idol play, and then ultimately Caleb blindsiding Mark. It's tough here because we don't get to talk about episode by episode so much. After Mark played the idol, what were you thinking? Were you thinking he was in a good spot, or were you thinking he was in trouble?
If he had to play the idol, not a great spot. I didn't have a lot of faith in Caleb sticking with Mark. So if he had to play the idol, then I think you're in deep.
Yeah, I couldn't get a feel for where he was with everybody else. I felt like him, Simon, Brooke were good, but then I couldn't really tell what Simon was doing. Somebody had said Simon's playing like a passenger again. I mean, Simon's playing the game. I mean, I like Simon making the fake idol, giving that to Mark, trying to help Mark out. Yeah. I like those types of moments. But at the same time, I don't know. Like I couldn't really get a read where he stood with everybody. And if this was like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're taking a shot at the champ, we missed, we'll go for him some other time. I wasn't really expecting it to be the next episode.
Who was it talking to Simon? And they were like, oh, your strategy is so good in this game. And I was like, what?
Well, they're trying to just make him feel better.
No, wasn't it? I know.
It was Keely, right?
I think it was Keely. But and then him going, I've got the best social game on the beach, talking to Ben and Jackson about the Beauty and the Beast, trying to like bring that back once his plans kind of fell through a little bit and they're down on the numbers. I don't think Simon's in a bad spot because I think they're still gonna use Simon if they need him for a vote. But
do you think that they should have gotten rid of Simon instead of Mark here?
No,
See, I do.
I think you have to get someone with that strategic capability out when you can and then go for Simon.
See, I feel like on Australian Survivor, you really can win every immunity challenge. And Simon could get an idol. And Simon is closely aligned with Brooke and Mark. I'd probably get rid of Simon. I think that would, I mean, Mark says it best. Like, I'm a sitting duck for you. He really is a sitting duck.
Hmm.
And Brian Kelly Weber says Beauty and the Beast are dead because Brooke and Simon voted Ben. Like, yeah, like Simon's not going to come back and be their number.
I think if he would like come groveling and be like, please don't vote me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, so Simon voted for Lottie, Richard, and Ben. Brooke voted for Lottie, Richard, and Ben. So same thing. Mm-hmm. And then Caleb voted for Ben, Brooke, and Mark. So Caleb didn't vote correctly, air quotes, in either of the first two, and then voted for Mark. But he said he purposely threw the vote at Brooke in case there were multiple idols or something like that.
Right.
I'm just looking to see. So who voted for Ben? Ben was Simon voted for Ben. Keely voted for Ben. Brooke voted for Ben.
Mark,
and obviously Mark, and Mark's out. So Simon, Keely, Brooke on one side. And then the rest, you with Blanche. And this is the point, right? Like, why split that 7 as a 5-2 when the 4 are going to beat you every time? Mm-hmm. I think that they thought Simon and Brooke were probably with them.
Yes.
I think they thought that. Yes, I think they just thought it was Keely and Mark who were on the other side.
They definitely thought Simon was going to be voting with them because there was something of like, I think in the preview, maybe, of like, you thought Simon was your number. Well, he's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now I look at it, and so you had Ben, Caleb, Jackson, Laz, Sally, all voted for Mark. So those were the 5. And then Blanche and Cameron voted for Keely. So they're technically in. So that's your alliance of 7 right now. It's Ben, Blanche, Caleb, Cameron, Jackson, Laz, Sally. That's mm-hmm. your 7. 3 of those people are going home before 2 from the other group of 3. That there's no doubt in my mind. Like, I would say Blanche, Laz, Sally, Cameron might all go before Brooke or Simon or
Keely.
I would say, though, Simon's in a bad spot because with Simon, nobody's going to play an idol for him at this point because I don't know if they think they can get the numbers back on their side. And I think that's problematic for him.
James Barber said Law's spoken the next time on, so she's probably going home.
Probably. Yeah. What does she have? 4 confessionals, 5 the entire season? It's all.
Yeah, I think we could see like a Law's Sally Cameron.
Yeah, let me look at this real quick. So it was, she has 6.
Or Law's Sally Keely, like someone of Law's Sally Cameron Keely in the next episode.
I mean, we're down to the final 10.
Right.
I'll do my power rankings on Friday for Australian Survivor for the patrons. But I would say that I think Simon's done next week, unless there's a non-elimination episode. Mm-hmm. I think he's done next week. I think that then we lose Blanche, Cameron, Laz, 2 of those, or Sally, 2 of those 3 are done. I think 2 of those 3 are done next week along with Simon. And I wouldn't be surprised if Simon's at the end of that week. Not that they can really plan it out that well, but they could always figure something out.
Well, we don't know, obviously, but Australian Survivor also drops to 2 episodes a week at some point too. If
is that guaranteed? I don't know if that's guaranteed this
is week. It not guaranteed?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That might happen, but I don't think it's guaranteed. I mean, I hope not. We'd have 3 weeks left. That would put us like mid-April. It would be perfect to be done with this mid-April and then move on and just be focused on 50.
Hmm.
Do me a favor, please. Australian Survivor, please. Please. One thing we haven't talked about, and it has nothing to do with like the players, but David now.
Yeah.
We are now 5 weeks into David. We are 15 episodes into David. We are longer than 1 US Survivor season into David. Do we know, is David coming back next season? Is there a next season? Like, what's the deal? Are people watching this? What are the ratings?
I heard that it could be done.
That's what I'm hearing too.
After this, I don't know if there's a confirmation. If there is a next season, I can't imagine David not doing it.
Is there another season of AU Survivor planned? Come on, AI, give me an answer. That's BS.
David over Probst?
I don't know about that. David said himself he signed on for multiple seasons. Yes, it's renewed. Okay.
All right.
People are saying it's coming back, but I'm not seeing. Okay. Australian Survivor tipped to return in 2027 with two seasons.
They're accepting applications, but ratings are down.
So 2027 could be the last time.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 2027 could be the end. I mean, I don't know what that would mean with two seasons or not. Rumors the next season to travel to Malaysia for one season at least. So, I mean, Okay. So it seems like they're planning to move forward, but the ratings are down. I mean, AU versus the World then didn't get them what they were looking for. David becoming the host didn't get them what they're looking for. So I wonder if they're like happy with the choice to go David or if they wish they would have just done JLP. To me, it has made zero difference. Now we are 15 episodes in. It has made no difference to me at all whatsoever.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, David's essentially doing a JLP impersonation.
Yeah, it's like close. I think he still has his own little bit to it, but yeah, it's kind of like just I'm going to be the non-entity right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'd love to see JLP apply and play. They would never do that.
They would never do that. No way. That would be fun, but they would never do that. I know people have been talking about David, whatever. I mean, I think he's a fine host. I think he's doing fine, but there's nothing special. And I think it kind of goes to show that Jeff made the Survivor host important, but that's because Jeff made it that way. The Survivor host didn't need to be important. Jeff made it so that the Survivor host was important. And Jeff became the staple. And I think Jeff leaving US would be a bigger deal. But JLP leaving AU, maybe it's hurt the ratings a little. I don't know. But it has not impacted, I think, what the show is actually producing. Blake's in the chat. Blake's trying to call me while I'm podcasting. Blake, you got to tell me what you want, man. I'm exhausted. I'm not calling you back tonight. Not happening. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think? Like JLP or David, does it matter to you or no?
No. At this point, no. It feels the same. I think David just hasn't gotten his own footing yet in being the host of like Davidisms. Like you had a whole thing of like Survivorisms and Jeff makes a lot of them. So I just don't think David has them. If he says like Battle of the Big Boys, that's a JLP thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think David just hasn't come to his own.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think he's mimicking. JLP was also mimicking Jeff in a lot of ways too.
To an extent, I mean, JLP was a lot more raunchy than Jeff was or is.
Yeah, but not early seasons, Jeff. Early seasons, Jeff was pretty brutal. The social media version of Jeff became different. It's true. It's very true. It's like crazy how you watch Kagi on, he starts to really shift who he is.
Mm.
And that's because social media started to have a much bigger impact on what the show was putting out. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Shane Michael Cubb says if they could get David for way less money, then go David.
Yeah.
Go David then. Anything else? What else in these episodes? I mean, there's a lot that happened, but it was kind of straightforward. And, you know, it's tough for me. It's funny. I can talk for hours and hours about US with one episode, but I feel like when you're trying to recap three episodes, you end up getting answers to the first two episodes.
Mm.
So it's like harder to recap those because
we
watched what happened in the aftermath.
Basically, the merge, congrats, Carr, Brooke winning immunity. And Lottie, goes home.
And it wasn't a blindside to us. It was only a blindside to Lottie.
Right. Then the next episode, the challenge, somebody wins. It's not anything super crazy. And then we see Richard go home crazily at Tribal Council. Mm-hmm. And then the next episode is Mark and tea time.
There you go. That's it then. I mean, we've got it covered. I mean, where are you going with your winner prediction?
I am going to stand by Keely until she leaves the game.
Yeah, I feel like Keely's playing a really good game. Even if Keely doesn't win, Keely's going to be somebody that's coming back for sure. Keely's playing a very good game. And Keely's a lot more interesting than I thought she was going to be. She had the potential to be very bland and very boring on this season.
Yes. And I, she's the equivalent of like Karin to me for last season, or not AU versus the world, but where like she is just a really big strategic game player and making all the moves, but she's aligning with the big boys. And then now Keely has to deal with aftermath of Mark not being here. So I don't know how she fares going forward, but she is such a big move gal that I feel like it's going to get her, and she can't really hide in the shadows a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like Jackson or Keely make the most sense. Keely just has a much more uphill battle. I could see Jackson just being kind of the guy who vibes his way to the end. I'm really curious though what the season's going to look like without Mark, because I feel like we're starting over. There are obviously
we're starting at 10.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, well, that's it then. We don't have to drag it out just for the sake of dragging it out. So that's it. By the way, everybody, Blake is driving while he is commenting here. Don't worry.
Blake?
Yeah, you're in LA, buddy. Anyway, like this video and subscribe to the channel. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We are going to be getting into Worlds Apart. As I said, that actually starts on Thursday. So make sure you check that out if you want to become a top tier patron and participate in that. If you haven't checked out the Tony Squares episode yet, make sure you also do that. And then on Friday, I'll have my Australian Survivor Power Ranking, Shane Michael Cup. Blake, don't text and drive. Blake right now is trying to respond to you, Shane, and say, I'm not texting and driving. I'm messaging and driving. but that's it. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you sticking around. I'm happy that we went to a Tuesday so I could do a full-fledged actually pay attention podcast. And I'm excited to see where the season's going to go with Mark out. I really do feel like it's wide open, and it's going to be exciting. I'm enjoying the season a lot. I know that's not necessarily the sentiment I saw in the comments last week, but I'm having a really good time. So thank you all so much for listening. That's all we got. We'll see you next time.